Hey ya, hey yo, wah, hey ya, hey yo, wah.
Welcome to Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, a lively account of Mavis McCovey, a Karuk medicine woman. Our excerpts are read by her niece, Florine McCovey. The first excerpt is titled, The Medicine Woman.
The Medicine Woman. Sometime in 1933, after I was conceived, but before my birth, a Karuk medicine woman named Daisy Jones had a vision that the next priest's or Fitwinen's woman would be the unborn grandchild of my grandmother Nancy Ferris and could be recognized by her light-colored hair and eyes. The Fitwinen that this girl would be trained to serve would be the priest for the white deerskin dance at the old medicine village of Tishonic, a few miles downriver from the town of Orleans, which is where I was born and had lived for most of my life. When I was born, Daisy Jones, my grandmother Nancy, and other medicine women agreed that I was that child. The Fitwinen that I was to serve would not be born until I was 11 or 12 years old. The Fitwinen's woman is always older than the Fitwinen she serves, so that she will have a certain dominance over him, and the Fitwinen will not be sexually attracted or drawn to her during all the time that they stay together, during the ceremonies, when she feeds and takes care of him. Georgia Henry was another medicine woman, and she didn't want someone who looked white to be a medicine woman. She was vehemently against it and said I was a bastard because my parents had only been married in the white man's way and had never been married in the Indian way. My grandmother was also a woman's doctor, and when she heard that Georgia Henry had called me a bastard, she got really angry, and she said that she was never going to talk to Georgia again. But then Georgia got to thinking about it. Georgia was a spiritual medicine woman like me. She was the Fitwinen's woman, and she was one of the people who'd have to help train me. My grandma was an Indian doctor for women and children, and she had more power than I have, or Georgia Henry had, a different kind of power. Doctors, like my grandmother, carried a lot of respect and influence in our society and also had more direct hands-on training, using herbs and other forms of treatment for her patients. So Georgia got to thinking about my grandmother's power and decided that she had better start making amends for her hasty words. She made me a great big clothes basket with two little handles for carrying it. She also made a little Indian baby hat for me to wear to my first white deerskin dance. And she commenced to give these little gifts to my mother and grandmother to make amends for saying those things about me. She agreed with Daisy that she would help train me. She didn't do much training that I remember, but she did accept that duty. Daisy did most of my training and gave me her Indian name, Oyani, which means red willow. That was a great honor because I can't see anything like as well as she could. I don't think you have the help to gain our medicine power in this world today that was around at the beginning of the last century, but a lot of people can still come together like at a dance and pull in the power, the spiritual energies. I became aware of these medicine women when I was about 3.5 years old. Georgia Henry and Jenny Blue, who was the daughter of Sandy Bar Bob, a powerful medicine man, came to our house and asked me about my dreams. What do you dream? What do you see? I told them that I dream repeatedly of being on a road with a red sweater on and being absolutely alone. When I told them about this dream, they said they knew and that they were going to help me. They said they were going to help me out, but they never went into any details. In my mind as a child, they just knew. They didn't tell you, and you didn't ask. They knew all about it. And the feeling of distress from this dream I'd been having was gone. At the time I first had this vision of being alone, my parents were still alive, I didn't know what it meant. But by the time I was 6 years old, after my parents had died, I knew that it meant that I was alone, because I had no parents or brothers or sisters. I was truly alone. I had an aunt and a grandfather, but there were ways in which I was literally alone. My parents died when I was 6 years old, and I was raised by my grandfather and my Aunt Caroline. My grandfather died when I was 16, so he was only around for 10 years after my parents died, but my aunt stayed with me until I was in my 40s. I always thought of Aunt Caroline as my aunt because I remembered my mother, and although Aunt Caroline took care of me, she stayed my aunt in my mind. She didn't want to be called mother when I wasn't her child. Daisy Jones and the other medicine women made me focus on whatever I had dreamt. When they asked me about my dreams, I would go into a little trance. That's my first memory of going into a trance, and that was the beginning of my training. When you're being trained, they tell you things, and if you're not quite sure what it means, you don't ask them anything, and they don't tell you any more. They just tell you what you need to know. I don't know whether they did things before that first visit to me, but after that visit, it got so I would focus on my dreams. And when I got older, when they weren't around, places would talk to me and tell me things. And I would report that to the medicine women who were training me. I would be someplace, and all at once, something would start talking to me. There are special high country places like Dr. Rock and Chimney Rock that are known to everyone as being medicine places, places where medicine people go to get their powerful gifts. Then there are other places that don't look special or distinct. For instance, there's a place here on this property. I've learned that these places are the crossroads where the spirit world can come into this world, and we can go into the spirit world. These are the places that talk to me. But as a child, I didn't know that there were these special places. They just looked like any ordinary place to me, and I had no way of anticipating that this was a place that would talk to me, or a place where I would hear voices. Down the hill from here, there was a place that talked, so evidently there was a crossroads there, a spiritual place. When the places talk to you, you have gone into a spirit space. The experience was just like someone was talking to me. It was like being talked to by the medicine women. The voices just told me little things. When I was very young, I began to get messages from places about things that were going to happen. Sometimes just minor things that would happen in people's lives that they wouldn't expect. Things that at my age I should not know anything about. Sometimes what I was saying didn't make sense to me. It was like I was talking about Einstein's theory of relativity and had no idea of what it was. I was talking about things that were beyond my comprehension.
Listen again to Medicine Trails. Our next excerpt is Messages. Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, The Stories of Mavis McCovey, was produced by KIDE-FM for National Native American Heritage Month with the permission of Mavis McCovey, John Sotler, and Heyday Books, Berkeley, California. Our music melody by Dr. Kashan Laura Cooper.